We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins. Afternoons on the Score.
Longtime voice of Fox Sports. He's covered basically every major sporting event. Chris Myers.
I grew up, like a lot of broadcasters, covering a lot of different sports.
I don't know how you do the Westminster Dog Show without breaking into Fred Willard's character, Buck Laughlin, from Best in Show, who didn't take any of it seriously.
Let me ask you this. If you're going to put him on a football team, which would be your wide receiver? Which would be your tight end? Who can go the farthest, the fastest?
Well, I don't know any dogs that play football.
I'm having some fun with you.
I do have a few of those moments where I have to hit the key to the truck and they hear one version and then be on air is the other. And I've been told a few times, Chris, dial it back a little. You know, I try to slide in a few, you know, if the Dalmatian is out, I might say, hey, there should be 100 more around here somewhere. You know, just stuff like that that makes me a little more entertained.
Why did he put the bloodhound, put on one of those Sherlock Holmes hats and put a little pipe in his mouth? Are they ever allowed to do anything like that, dress up a dog in a funny way?
No, that's not quite what the purpose of these shows.
But it would, I think it would really get the crowd going. I'd get a kick out of it.
The whip it one, I said whip it good for, you know, we tied it back to the air, a little bit of Devo. So we just, whatever, wherever, as long as we're not offensive to anybody or making fun of the show. But that was hysterical, Best in Show. As accurate as it was, and as funny, they were like, please, don't go that far.
I think the Shih Tzu is a terrific
What's
dog.
That one?
The Shih Tzu.
The Shih Tzu. That's one you don't you don't play around with that name, do you? It doesn't come trippingly off the tongue. Stewardess, can I take a Shih Tzu on my carry-on, or does it have to be stowed?
Yes, that's
Sir, is that a Shih Tzu?
An old joke, but a good one, nevertheless. Yes,
that's a crowd pleaser.
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
Neil and Parkin Show, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
Speaking of crowd pleasers, Chris Myers. Man, that was delightful. Really,
yesterday's conversation with Chris Myers, I didn't know what to expect from it. I was, you know, excited about having him because he's a recognizable name and a recognizable face to our listeners, and that's always an asset, provided the guy's got something to say. But I never expected him to be as warm and engaging as he was. Dare I suggest he dug us?
I think so. He was surprised at the amount of time we had, and we talked more than just his trivia show on Marquee, and the guy's had a hell of a career. When you do national television for a quarter century or so, you're going to see some things, and he certainly has. He was a willing storyteller. I really did enjoy it.
I did as well, and I didn't realize until after the show, he's actually a couple years older than I am. I had him pegged for a little bit younger than I am, Danny, because he just looks younger than I do, and you're younger than I would think that a guy in his early 60s looks, and I would have to attribute that to what I perceive to be a clean living lifestyle. I would be surprised if Chris Myers were in some of the same places you and I have been in.
Yeah, clean living, television, living in California, right? Like, lots of sun, lots of makeup, lots of vanity attached to your job. So TV
lots
money
of
for
makeup.
All those years. Yeah, he's got it good. So I agree with you. I would have pegged Chris Myers for for his mid-50s, probably. He's just been around for so long that he can't be that young.
Yeah, I'm thinking, are you old enough to remember the sports challenge, I asked him, and because I have very vague memories of that trivia show hosted by Dick Enberg years back, and he said, oh, yeah, I remember it, and I'm like, looked after the show. Yeah, he was born in 1959. Of course he remembers the sports challenge. I bet he enjoyed it even more than I did. And I enjoyed it enormously, but not as much as I enjoyed the film Draft Day, which celebrated 2 weeks ago its sixth birthday. And today,
it is Draft Day.
Yes, indeed it is. And Parkins, do I wake up feeling heartened by the reality? Vontae Mack, the fine linebacker out of Ohio State, is trending on Twitter. That made my morning.
I am not surprised. I mean, this is your day. And it's draft day's day.
Let's talk about the draft.
it's bigger for the movie in some ways. Like the NFL draft, I mean, that's relevant many more days of the year than just today. But honestly, the movie Draft Day is only relevant today. So
it is draft day.
I don't know if there is a more bizarre relationship between a group of fans, in this case draft day heads, and a film than this one. This is a bizarre cultish film that one day out of the year it's Christmas, and it's just one of the weirdest movies, because in some ways I think it's spot on capturing some things, some of the nuances of NFL life. I think they do a great job. Ivan Reitman, the director, did a great job of capturing the essence of what it's like to be a fan. And the beginning of it, when Kevin Costner's character, Sonny Weaver Jr., is listening to Cleveland All Sports Talk Radio, and he's describing the plight of the Cleveland sports fan. You know, we don't have movie stars here. We don't have beaches. We've got our sports teams, and that's what unifies. They captured the essence of what it's like to be a real fan on what is expected to be an exciting day, and giving your franchise hope. And of course, it has some bizarre stupidity in it along the way as well. I don't know whether I think it's a good movie. I just know I love it. I love
Stop.
It. And
you think it's a good movie. In fact, you think it's a great movie. And I'll go a step further. You've talked about like the Mactionary and like all of the things that you've contributed to the Chicago sports lexicon. Like your association with this movie. You are the Mel Kiper Jr. of discussing the movie Draft Day.
Come on.
You break it down with such fervor. Like there's a debate on Herbert or Tua that is just all across the NFL, and everyone is weighing in on it. Your ability to come in on what was the value here in Vontae Mack and the strategy and it capturing the mood and the moments and how the complexities and the stresses and how it shapes organizations and young people's lives and football character. Like you could probably go 15 minutes off the top of your dome on a review of the movie Draft Day. And that, my friend, is an impressive skill. You are the Mel Kiper Jr. of discussing the movie Draft Day.
That's something for my business card. I've got that going for me, which is nice.
It's a cottage industry. Like I'm not saying it's going to get you your own cottage, but it's an industry. You have planted your flag on Draft Day's island, and I don't know anyone else who can. Okay. You know more about Draft Day than Patrick Saint-Esprit knew about Draft Day, okay?
Oh, like that's, well,
it's true.
You know, I bet I've seen it more times than he has.
100%. I don't know if he's seen it.
I thought, you know what, if you want to analyze it, and it seems like that's what we might do a time or two today, I thought the weakest link in the film was Dennis Leary. And I like Dennis Leary. I'm a huge Suicide Kings. Love him. Love him in The Ref. Big Dennis Leary fan. I couldn't stand him as the head coach. I thought it was really, really forced. And he said things to his general manager. Coaches probably don't say to their general managers. And I thought he was as bad as it got. But the dumbest line in the movie is when the strength and conditioning coach is telling the general manager about his quarterback and how strong he is, because he's going through, you know, he went through a surgery and he's stronger and he's recovering. And he talked about his secret workouts with star receiver Kenneth Davis. Star receiver. It sounds like it's written by a sophomore in high school sports writer, the way it was, and how they didn't catch that and say, well, let's redo that line. That sounds awful. No strength and conditioning coach. Oh, yeah, he's been having secret workouts with Pro Bowl receiver Kenneth Davis.
Well, let me tell you why Dennis Leary doesn't work as a football coach in the movie Draft Day. He's in too good a shape to be a head coach of that age. He's not one of these young geniuses that Danny likes. He's an older guy. You know, he should, you know, an Andy Reid type would have been, would have made a lot more sense than Dennis Leary as a coach, I think. Pete Carroll's the exception to the rule in the modern day NFL, as an older guy who hasn't gone totally overboard with the weight.
So let's recast him. Let's make Draft Day better than it already was and go back
so
6 years and recast Dennis Leary. Who's
John Goodman?
John Goodman.
He makes everything better.
You got your...
Nah, he's an offensive coordinator.
He's like the Wade Phillips.
Yeah, I can see him with a visor.
Okay. Oh, why not? He's John Goodman.
How about Joel Edgerton? Are you guys hip to Joel Edgerton?
Sure.
Joel Edgerton.
Only because you talk about him all the time.
Yeah, well... because I really? Do I? I think I only know him from two roles, Black Mass and Warrior. He's also in Warrior, but I think he would. How about Giamatti? You want Giamatti to be head coach of your football team?
I like that.
Do you like Paul Giamatti coaching?
Screamy, a little husky, bald. Yeah, that works.
Could he win over a football team, though? Because he would clearly be the coach who never played the game. So he'd have to be the cerebral, you know, Belichickian type of coach.
You have spoiled the sanctity of my offense. you are the anti-MF-ing Christ.
Oh, yeah. Honestly, though, how can Draft Day be improved, Mac? I mean, have you had your pancakes today?
I did not eat pancakes today, but I love the fact that pancakes also were trending. Everybody's jumping in with pancakes today, and I know that I've lost 18 pounds. I moved the needle a little bit more, so pancakes not quite on the program. I did get myself a treat the other day at Butterfingers. I hadn't been in there in 8 weeks, so I got myself a little bit of quiche, and I got a little sweet as well, but no pancakes.
Well, I appreciate, by the way, speaking of Butterfingers, it was nice to see two-thirds of the other members of the mob earlier today. We were all donning our masks. Shep, I know, wasn't able to meet up, but Mac-a-Claw is just bringing us all just a four-course meal. You brought us food for days when I got home. It was just absolutely incredibly generous, and it was good to see you and Tanny downtown, of course, practicing social distancing, all of us wearing our masks, but very generous. Steph and I are looking forward to a feast tomorrow night.
Well, my pleasure, man. Everybody on the show works very, very hard, and we're all dealing with crap, and I know you guys have not been able to get out. You're getting stuff delivered to you, but I wanted to get out yesterday, and I like doing that sort of thing. It makes me feel good. And you were right. Your beard, your facial hair, every bit as bad as you advertised it to be the other day. That is a country look that doesn't work for you. There are pieces of it that are very, very good. There are a couple of different little, I don't know, inch and a half, 2-inch patches where if you could have that consistently, you'd be in business. But then there's a 3-inch gap between patches.
It's a problem. I haven't shaved since before the final word before March 11th when the NBA shut down. So, I mean, we're talking 6 weeks since I last shaved. And it's haggard.
Yeah.
I have some neck growth. It's not good.
Some guys can pull off the, you know, I haven't, you know, had a haircut or shaved in a couple months and have that rustic kind of look going. Danny looks like he's a prisoner of war. Like, he looks like Damian Lewis in Homeland in the first season. Like, he looks like he got stuck somewhere as opposed to this is a choice I'm making to just be a little more manly.
Yeah.
Well, because it's not manly if it doesn't connect. That's the problem. It's not. It's
good
not.
Thing about the mask. I couldn't tell it wasn't connecting. So
I appreciate that.
Well I think before you,
to me, it illustrates a desire to be manly. It's on the road to manly.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do. I've wanted to know definitively if I have the worst facial hair in America, and we're not doing any video component for this radio show anymore because we're not in the studio. I'm not doing any TV work. As soon as quarantine ends and I get paid to go on TV again, or I am on video for this radio program, I will shave and I will get my hair cut. But it's kind of a social experiment. I didn't realize how bad the neck beard was until I put the picture on Twitter with me and Owen on Sunday for the Last Dance premiere when he was wearing my old Michael Jordan jersey. And when 100 people, and that's no exaggeration, compare you to Kyle Orton, like, it really is a humbling experience because they don't mean it as any sort of compliment.
No,
I didn't realize it was quite that bad.
It's bad. Although you take attention away from it by having your hair way too long. Although the long hair doesn't look as bad on you as neck beard.
Yeah.
Or the rest of that thing you got working.
It's not good. It's not good. But one day, Mac, I will have a real beard. That is my I might be 60, but I hope one day to be masculine enough to grow a full beard that actually
connects. I suggested to you a while back, I'm sure there is some sort of product out there or medical procedure you can get to enhance facial hair growth. There has to be something. It's 2020 for crying out loud, right?
We don't want to see Danny's face on all the billboards like Urlacher. So we got to let Brian keep his money, okay? I don't need to see Danny, 10 times driving out to O'Hare.
With a full beard, yes.
Nobody needs that. Okay, Danny? No, I would love a billboard for this radio show, but I promise you we will not have that type of billboard budget if it ever happens. But I'm not shaving. I'm not shaving until there's a reason to. I don't put on jeans in quarantine, and I don't shave in quarantine. It's just a rule that I have. I've been solo sweatpants and au naturel the whole way. It's rare if I put on underwear, frankly.
That's okay. We used to have billboards. Did you know that? We used to do a lot of billboard advertising.
Fans talking to fans. I think there's one of them you could still see, I think, on 55.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it is on 55.
Just owned that billboard?
A couple of miles. It was on an old brick building. It was painted on there. I think that was the It's Your Thing was one of the early slogans. Fans talking to fans was one of them. Yeah, but we used to have billboards, bus cards all over the city. That changed.
yeah, it sure did.
Some stations still pay the money for it. Ours not among them, but some stations paying a lot of money for that stuff and not filling the gym. So you could argue that it hasn't helped them any.
Yeah, absolutely. It'd be an ego trip to have a billboard, obviously.
Yeah,
it is cool.
Yeah. I have a framed bus card of the McNeil and Boers show in the garage. I took that as a parting gift when I left the Score in 2000. Ron Gleason wasn't happy. I said, "You guys broke up the show a year and a half ago. What do you want this thing for? I'm going to take it. If you want money for it, I'll pay you for it. But that's going in my basement." And we were in little bobbleheads. We had our pictures, our faces. I was on a football bobblehead. Terry was on a baseball bobblehead. And we were on 1160 at the time, but it is pretty cool to have that old bus card with the show hours on it and the name of the show. So I'm glad I swiped that from the old Belmont Avenue facility. That was a good move on my part. That's when shoplifting paid off for me.
Put that on your headstone as well. When shoplifting paid off. Now our advertising is really like in games and at stadiums, right? Like hearing our promos during Cubs games or when they put the name, like the show up on the big screen out at Gallagher Way when we're doing remotes from out there. Like, so you get like little signages in that thing with 670 The Score at the United Center during Bulls games and stuff like that. So that's kind of replaced the billboard advertising, at least for this radio station, given our partnerships with some of the teams.
I'm surprised I don't know this. Sorry. Do we get a 30-second announcement on the PA at Wrigley during a Cubs game?
I believe the post-game show gets an announcement.
Okay.
And I don't think the show does, no.
Well, but, I mean, just for whatever the station wanted to promote. I'm just wondering if they would, you know, if we have the flexibility to control the message and just, you know, mix them up.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
That would be a good idea to do that. See the things we're solving when baseball season returns in 2021. We may have a promo at Wrigley, all 81 games.
That would be fantastic. 81 games, 8 games, whatever they're going to play, we'll take it. Texter wants to know, Parco, what does your wife think of your look? You know, she doesn't love it. I think she enjoys looking at a different man occasionally, right? So, like, I'm the new person. It's a little bit of variety. She wanted to give me a haircut, and I said, no, I don't want you to make me look ridiculous. And she thinks that's just an absurd answer because of what I actually look like now.
Says the man wearing a rodent on his neck.
Yeah, but, you know, it tickles a little bit, so I think she likes it.
Likes that.
Sure. It's a little different. And, I mean, where's she going to go? We're married with a kid and we're in lockdown, so she only gets so much of a vote right now.
Wow.
I'm just being honest.
Wow.
It's the truth. Like, this is what we are, it's what we're dealing with. I don't shave during quarantine. I didn't know I had that rule. But it's a rule that I've come to develop over the last 4 weeks or so, especially because we don't know how much longer this is going to go. But we will be airing Governor Pritzker's daily COVID-19 update because the reports are not only will he be extending the stay-at-home order, but there will be some talk of how we are going to slowly start to reopen the Illinois and Chicago economy. So we got tons of draft stuff today. Bears, the rest of the NFL. I've got a outside the box theory for you that I'm sure Shep will shoot down like he did my love of Princess Bride. It sucks. None of it's funny. We'll get to that. And Dave wants that at 4:30. But how much longer will the stay-at-home order be across the state of Illinois? Governor Pritzker next on The Score.
Well, it is draft day.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Might be another 30 days, at least. That's what the reports are, that Governor Pritzker will be extending the stay-at-home order for the state of Illinois. Bottom of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Athletics. The Wildcats would like to thank all of those who are out the COVID-19 pandemic, including grocery store employees, restaurant staffs, and delivery drivers. We appreciate you.
Humble Pie is in the house. How about that, Parkins?
Yeah, you know, well, it fits. It's a bummer.
It's relevant, as Shane Reardon would say.
It is very, very relevant. It's a bummer, but it's not a surprise, right? That's kind of how I feel when I saw that news that it's going to be a 30-day extension. It doesn't strike me as surprising at all.
No, it's the least surprising thing I heard today. I heard some other things today that were a little bit surprising. Some people. I have a nominee later on today for COVIDiot of the Week, although it's tough to top the mayor of Las Vegas.
Really tough.
We submit everything daily whenever they come in, though, and I heard a little bit of radio today that deserves a little bit of airplay later on today, and it may have to slap somebody who I know and care for very much. For what I would call reckless commentary in an unprecedented time.
I'm looking forward to that. You know, and when you radio slap someone back, it always makes me happy. that old Dan McNeil who throws carts across the room. When he comes out a little bit, I just, there he is. I enjoy that very much.
Hey, hell with Paul Giamatti in draft day. Texter suggesting when they do the Bulls movie, he should play Jerry Krause. That's not bad.
That works.
That's actually very, very good.
You think he just is he the most cast actor, just like or any curmudgeon-y, like small part, you know, like Paul Giamatti,
right? Some I loved him as the in The Negotiator. You ever see The Negotiator? Underrated Chicago movie, by the way.
Yeah,
you know that one. It's got a lot of action. There's helicopters. Buildings are burning. It's all kinds of crazy stuff. And he was terrific in that, even though he was a weasel. He was a career weasel. I thought he was great.
Let's go to Governor J.B. Pritzker, courtesy of WBBM.
Stay-at-home order. Dr. Ezike is going to take the podium first for the state's health update. Here's Dr. Ngozi Ezike.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Governor. And we will jump right into the numbers. We have a lot of information to share with some special guests, so I'll keep my comments ultra brief. Today, we are reporting a total of 36,934 cases, which includes the 24-hour increase of 1,826. We're reporting, unfortunately, 123 fatalities, which brings our Illinois total to 1,688 lives lost in the fight against COVID-19. Right now, statewide medical surgical bed availability remains relatively flat, similar to ICU bed availability. Although use has been increasing slowly, capacity has also been increasing, thereby maintaining relatively stable levels. As of yesterday, 4,877 individuals were in the hospital reported to be hospitalized with COVID-19. Of those, 1,268 patients were in the ICU and 766 patients were on ventilators. We continue to encourage everyone to stay at home, to wear masks when outside, clean frequently touched surfaces, and look out by helping neighbors and elderly people by trying to drop food off on their door or do other neighborly activities. Thank you for continuing to stay all in for Illinois. And with that, I will turn it back over to Governor Pritzker. I've actually forgotten the Spanish update. Apologies. Buenos tardes.
So that's Dr. Ngozi Ezike, 1,688 deaths, 123 across the state. They're doing the medical update first before Governor Pritzker gets into the full details of the stay-at-home order being extended for another 30 days. It's going to be very tough on a lot of people. Economically, mentally, it's the feeling of Groundhog's Day as it keeps repeating itself. And I know that people downstate who are not around Chicago think it should be different there. And I understand the frustrations that they're feeling. I'm sure the governor will outline some of the specifics on how they arrived at that plan. But I'm assuming that it's based in the science, given that, again, there were 123 additional deaths related to COVID-19 in the last 24 hours. So I know it sucks, but hopefully they are following the science and operating under an abundance of caution in order to keep us as safe as possible. And it's wild to watch because all of these different municipalities and states are handling this very differently. And we'll see. We'll see how it goes. But my guess is we are in this for quite a while as different parts of the country continue to open up and people can travel in other places. Here's the governor, courtesy of WBBM.
The director of the NASA Astrobiology Institute for Universal Biology, leader of the Biocomplexity Group at the Institute for Genomic Biology, and a professor at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. Sergei Maslov, UIUC professor of bioengineering, who is also at the Institute for Genomic Biology, as well as the National Center for Supercomputing Applications. Dr. Toyin Adeyemi, an infectious disease expert with decades of experience at Cook County Health, where she directed the core hepatitis clinic and was senior director of HIV services for the health system. Brad Cole, executive director of the Illinois Municipal League, and Cameron Mock, the chief of staff to the governor's Office of Management and Budget. Professors Goldenfeld and Maslov are here representing the entire modeling group that I convened weeks ago, the members of which have been dedicated to developing the best possible modeling and analysis for Illinois' battle with COVID-19. These are some of the best experts in the entire nation, and we are very lucky to have them advising us. To start, let me explain a bit about the role of modeling in my decision making. Since the outbreak of COVID-19, I've taken into consideration a variety of models from researchers all across the world. There are often widely different projections from those about the state of Illinois. Some of this disparity is the result of methodological differences, but much of it also is due to data access and quality. The earliest coronavirus models that we had in the United States had to rely upon data from other countries applied to our national landscape. And certainly there was a real benefit in those very early days of getting educated estimates of what the virus's effect on Illinois would look like, regardless of where that early data came from. But the picture that gets painted by modeling gets better when it's based off of what's actually happening on the ground in Illinois, data that can only be gathered with the passage of time. We now have what we didn't have 2 months ago, an understanding of what COVID-19 cases, deaths, hospitalizations, ventilator and ICU usage look like every day in Illinois. Even so, 2 months is not a lot of time in the world of modeling. That's important because the very essence of a model is that it gets smarter over time. How? Well, you consistently test past predictions against current reality and then adjust projections accordingly. Or, to put it simply, the more facts that you have, like exactly how many people went into the hospital with COVID-19 on a certain date, the better your ability to predict outcomes on any later date. Notice I say it becomes better because it never is exact. There is no crystal ball available to us. There are only estimates. Illinois is the proud home to some of the finest researchers and research institutions in the world. And still, it is always the case that different modeling teams come to different conclusions. So I undertook a project to give me the best possible approximations of future COVID-19 illnesses in Illinois that would then allow me to make decisions about what resources we would need all available to us. There are only estimates. Illinois is the proud home to some of the finest researchers and research institutions in the world. And still, it is always the case that different modeling teams come to different conclusions. So I undertook a project to give me the best possible approximations of future COVID-19 illnesses in Illinois that would then allow me to make decisions about what resources we would need to keep Illinoisans alive and recovering, and what urgency would be required in decisions about whether to initiate new mitigation strategies or extend existing ones like the stay-at-home order. I have known from the start that even the best projections are going to have a great deal of variance, but knowing the boundaries of that variance informs my decision-making. So we convened top researchers from the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign, the Chicago and Illinois Departments of Public Health, Northwestern School of Medicine, the University of Chicago, and we also brought in outside consulting groups. They worked as a cohort under Civis Analytics, using the most comprehensive data available for the entire state of Illinois. Suffice to say, the findings we're discussing today about the state of Illinois were put together by some of the best scientists, doctors, researchers from some of those great institutions that I just mentioned. I want to look first at the projected fatalities. As you can see from the graphs that are next to me, Illinois is now looking at a peak or plateau of deaths per day somewhere between late April and early May. Why a range instead of an exact date? Well, everyone wants to look at the median line as a guide, that nice clear line that cuts through the big shaded section on all the models circulating online. But reality is not quite so simple. Look at the actual deaths from the past few weeks on the graph next to me, and look at the median projections going forward. Reality swings up and down, sometimes drastically, a fact that can't be captured with a simple median line. What we have to consider is the whole shaded area. That shaded area shows the range that researchers are 95% confident that things will land. That's a shaded area you would see in differing shapes on every model. To be clear, the fact that the variance is large doesn't make a model less useful, but it does nevertheless make it clear that it is only a tool to be used. I worry that people think the model is some miraculously accurate view into the future that is going to tell us exactly what we need to do and when. It's not. It won't. I guarantee that the model that we're sharing today will change in the coming days as projected numbers about those days are replaced with actual numbers. A model is an imperfect tool that we use to add context to the actual numbers that we can chart every day. Cases, fatalities, hospitalizations, positive test results, ventilator and ICU usage. I also want to explain a bit about this change in our estimated peak cases. The concept of flattening the curve only just entered our common vocabulary in the last few months, and it's really crucial to understand our approach. Weeks ago, many models, both those produced by our in-state experts and those from around the nation, predicted an early or mid-April peak for Illinois. But as the weeks have progressed, those models have come to look quite different. That's not because those models were bad models. Instead, it's because their inputs got better as time went on. Real-time data came in, and importantly, Illinoisans protected each other by staying home. Human behavior is exceptionally difficult to measure and even harder to predict. So that last part about staying home has made all the difference in our progress. Also, and this is very important, the most sensible and responsible use of a model in a public health crisis like this one is to pay close attention to the worst-case scenario. In other words, when building hospital beds, purchasing and acquiring PPE and ventilators, and making decisions about mitigation efforts, public officials should assume that the worst end of the model range could happen, and take that into account in planning. A pushing out of our estimated peak is a natural consequence of, Pushing out that peak is a natural consequence, and the best indicator that we are flattening the curve. That's what you're aiming to do, slow down the rate of transmission, which leads to a slower rate of increase over a longer period of time, hence a later and lower peak. Pushing the peak further down the line might not sound like good news, but I promise you, it saves lives. And make no mistake, Illinois has saved lives. By staying home and social distancing, we have kept our infection and death rates for the months of March and April thousands below the rates projected had we not implemented those mitigation strategies. The good people of this state have allowed our healthcare professionals the ability to treat patients to the best of their ability without having to make dark choices, very real choices that doctors in other countries faced about who lives and who dies. That is a historic and heroic act carried out by all of you. Your efforts to protect your families, protect your communities, protect each other have also given us another tool, and that's time. Time to build up our hospital capacity in terms of beds, ventilators, and healthcare workers. Time to prepare for the kind of surge that could occur any time as a result of a virus from which no one is immune. And capacity we built. In August of 2019, back in a world that had never heard of COVID-19, Illinois had an average of about 26,000 total hospital beds available. As of today, our total bed count in existing hospitals is more than 31,000. Back in August, we had about 2,000 ventilators. That number is now more than 3,200 ventilators. And we're building our healthcare workforce, too. There are now 5,000 out of state and former medical professionals who have applied for temporary licenses to join Illinois' fight against COVID-19. We've built up our hospital capacity significantly. But if we let up now, we would have nowhere near the kind of hospital capacity that we would need. The projections are clear. If we lifted the stay-at-home order tomorrow, we would see our deaths per day shoot into the thousands by the end of May. And that would last well into the summer. Our hospitals would be full, and very sick people would have nowhere to go. People who otherwise might have won their fight against COVID would die because we wouldn't be able to help them through.
That's Governor J.B. Pritzker, courtesy of WBBM, as the stay-at-home order extends another 30 days, explaining the task force that he has assembled on why the modeling fluctuates and reiterating the case numbers are still coming in and the death toll still rising. While we still are flattening the curve, we have not yet reached the peak, which is expected to come now in the earlier parts of May as opposed to late April. Again, as the data continues to shift, human behavior is complicated. Models are not exact. They get updated as new data comes in each and every day. We'll bring you any more pertinent information that is necessary for the public health as we continue to monitor Governor J.B. Pritzker, courtesy of WBBM. Lead college analyst for the NFL draft over at Pro Football Focus will join us at 3. We're back before that on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Let's talk about the draft. What do we need?
I like Bonte Mack. He's special. He's different. We could transform our defense even as a rookie.
Defense doesn't make a splash. Sonny, people pay to get wet.
The draft is here. A live sporting event of sorts is here. How will it go? We don't know. The governor has officially extended the stay-at-home order through May 30th. There will be a mandate for people to wear masks in public if it's not possible to practice social distancing. And there is some discussion on state parks and potentially golf courses opening at a sooner time. Tanny, have you seen the exact times that can happen?
I have not yet, no.
Yeah,
But Lourdes Duarte of WGN tweets, golf will be permitted under strict safety guidelines provided by the Illinois Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity, and when ensuing that social distancing is ensuring that social distancing is followed.
Yeah, so golf is going to come back sooner than the stay-at-home order is going to exist. So, very important, newsworthy day, Mac. In addition to the NFL draft,
it being draft day, and I think it's probably an obvious the optimism about the NFL exceeds that of all of the other sports for any form of normalcy for this year. It's too late to have anything that's going to salvage NBA and NHL postseasons. Baseball is starting to look real iffy. No kids on college campuses in September means no college football. The NFL has the best shot of any sport to have its season, and I'm not going to say uninterrupted, but not as phased as much by the other sports and by miles. by the coronavirus. So I think that contributes to a lot of the enthusiasm for these next few days of drafting, because people feel they're actually going to have something at the other end of this that's not going to be a year down the road. There will be a product on the field, hopefully close to its typical time.
That would be great. I know that it seems a little ambitious because nothing has had to be disrupted for it, but I think when the draft is over, the NFL will start to see the impact of COVID-19 on its business when it comes to OTAs and mini camps and maybe an abridged training camp and that sort of thing, and then certainly games in empty stadiums. So it's going to happen, and we'll see when it does happen, but it'll affect the NFL in one way sooner rather than later. Really looking forward to talking to our next guest. Pro Football Focus got into the college scouting game a few years ago. Their lead college football analyst, who is also an NFL draft analyst for Pro Football Focus, Mike Renner, he's going to tell us about best value for the Bears in the early 40s and at 50 for the second round, but also his evaluation of the top guys in the draft that'll go tonight. Mike Renner from Pro Football Focus next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.